या गोपीचा ना बालवा गिरिवर लारी यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन yamuna tira vanachari jaya radha madhava kunja vihari jaya radha madhava kunja vihari jana vala va giri varadari jaya gopi jana vala va giri varadari Yashodanandana Vrajajanaranjana Yamunatira Vanachari Yamunatira Vanachari Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय। हरि गौ प्रेमानंदि। Krishna, everyone, welcome to Srimad Bhagavatam class. Today we're reading from the 9th canto, chapter 11, text 2 through 5. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanan Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So on the board we have text 5, so I'll read the verses prior to that, and then we'll read text 5. Text 2. Hotre dadadisham prachim brahmane dakshinam prabhu advaryave pratichim va uttaram samagayasa. Lord Ramachandra gave the entire east to the Hotra priest, the entire south to the Brahma priest, the west to the Advaru priest, and the north to the Udgata priest, the reciter of the Samaveda. In this way he donated his kingdom. Text 3. Acharya yadado shesham yavati bhustad antara Manyamana idam kritsnam brahmano vihati nishpriha. Thereafter, thinking that because the Brahmins have no material desires, they should possess the entire world, Lord Ramachandra delivered the land between the east, west, north, and south to the Acharya. Ityayam tadalankarya Kara vasobhyam avasheshita tataranjabi vai dehi samangalya visheshita. After thus giving everything in charity to the Brahmanas, Lord Ramachandra retained only his personal garments and ornaments, and similarly the Queen Mother Sita was left with only her nose ring and nothing else. Text 5. Te tu brahmana devasya vatsalyam vikshasam stutam prita klina diastasmai pratyarpyedam babhashire. Te tu brahmana devasya vatsalyam vikshasam stutam prita klinadiyastasmai. Pratyarpyedam babhashire. Te tu brahmana devasya vatsalyam vikshasam stutam prita klinadiyastasmai pratyarpidam bhavashide. Te, the Hota, Brahma, and other priests. Tu, but, Brahmana Devasya, of Lord Ramachandra, who loved the Brahman so much. Vatsalyam, the parental affection. Viksha, after seeing. Sangstutam, worshipped with prayers. Prita, being very pleased. Clean adiya, with melted hearts. Tasmai, unto him, Lord Ramachandra. Pratyarpya, returning. Idam, this. All the land given to them. Babhashire spoke. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. All the Brahmanas who were engaged in the various activities of the sacrifice were very pleased with Lord Ramachandra, who was greatly affectionate and favorable to the Brahmanas. Thus, with melted hearts, they returned all the property received from him and spoke as follows. Purport. In the previous chapter, it was said that the prajas, the citizens, strictly followed the system of Varnashram Dharma. The Brahmanas acted exactly like Brahmanas, the Kshatriyas exactly like Kshatriyas, and so on. Therefore, when Lord Ramachandra gave everything in charity to the Brahmins being qualified, wisely considered that Brahmins are not meant to possess property to make a profit from it. The qualifications of a Brahmin are given in Bhagavad Gita, 1842. Samo damas tapaso cham kshantirar javame vacha gyanave gyanamastakyam brahmakarma swabhavajam. Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, wisdom, knowledge, and religiousness. These are the qualities by which the Brahmanas work. Brahminical character offers no scope for possessing land and ruling citizens. These are the duties of a Kshatriya. Therefore, although the Brahmins did not refuse Lord Ramachandra's gift, after accepting it, they returned it to the king. The Brahmins were so pleased with Lord Ramachandra's affection toward them that their hearts melted. They saw that Lord Ramachandra, aside from being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was fully qualified as a Kshatriya and was exemplary in character. One of the qualifications of a Kshatriya is to be charitable. A Kshatriya, a ruler, levies taxes upon the citizens not for his personal sense gratification, but to give charity in suitable cases. Danam Ishwara Bhava. On one hand, Kshatriyas have the propensity to rule, but on the other, they are very liberal with charity. When Maharaj Yudhisthira gave charity, he engaged Karna to take charge of distributing it. Karna was very famous as Dhata Karna. The word Dhata refers to one who gives charity very liberally. The kings always kept a large quantity of food grains in stock, and whenever there was any scarcity of grains, they would distribute grains in charity. A Kshatriya's duty is to give charity, and a Brahmin's duty is to accept charity, but not more than needed to maintain body and soul together. Therefore, when the Brahmins were given so much land by Lord Ramachandra, they returned it to him and were not greedy. Translation repeated. All the Brahmins who were engaged in the various activities of the sacrifice were very pleased with Lord Ramachandra, who was greatly affectionate and favorable to the Brahmanas. Thus, with melted hearts, they returned all the property received from him and spoke as follows. Hare Krishna. Ask our blessings, senior devotees here, for discussion on Srimad Bhagavatam. We're hearing here a beautiful exchange between the Kshatriyas and the Brahmanas, specifically Lord Ramachandra himself, the ideal king, Ramaraj. So these pastimes can be, when we hear the pastime, we can understand on so many different levels and appreciate according to our attraction actually to Krishna. According to one's Krishna consciousness, one can appreciate or relish the pastimes of the Lord. To the degree that one is not Krishna conscious, the pastimes of the Lord and his incarnations, they may be taken as nice activities or something I can appreciate theoretically. But actually any activities that the Lord is performing are so astounding and wonderful. So here we're getting a beautiful description of the Ram Lila. A few chapters Shukadeva Goswami is giving to describe Lord Ramachandra as the ideal king. So we might wonder why only a few chapters. Actually, the Ramayana is, and the pastimes of Lord Ram are so universal that for some they're easier to appreciate the godhood of Ram than Krishna, because Krishna seems to perform what seem to be sometimes questionable activities. But Lord Ram is very much embodying the exact nature of Dharma as a king. So therefore, for the conditioned souls, they sometimes can relate more, appreciate more. And so therefore, since time immemorial, Ram is the emblem or the ideal personality of Godhead. But all of his incarnations, they have wonderful lessons to teach us, and also the capacity, or they have the potency to increase our attachment for the Lord. Therefore, this Srimad Bhagavatam is so widely revered in our tradition. This one book, Srimad Bhagavatam, it says, simply by submissive hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam, the personality of Godhead is established within one's heart. Do you remember that verse? Yeah. Sadyo hridavaridite trakritibi shushu shubistakshanat. As soon as one attentively and submissively hears the message of Bhagavatam, by this culture of knowledge, the Supreme Lord is established within his heart. So this is a culture of knowledge, Srimad Bhagavatam. There's so much potency in this sound vibration that it can establish the Supreme Lord within one's heart. The Lord accepts that sound carnation as the divine avatar of Shabda Brahman. He appears through that spiritual sound vibration. And therefore it's described that this is the way that one achieves the Lord's mercy. And one can actually conquer the unconquerable. Jita Jito. Krishna is unconquerable. No one can conquer him. He's the possessor of all opulences. Even his different various potencies, the Haladini Shakti, he's the possessor of the potencies. But one who throws away the process of speculative knowledge and fruitive activity, dedicates their lives to hearing and chanting, offering obeisances to the topics of the Lord, they can conquer the Lord, even though he's unconquerable by any other means. Jnane prayasa udapashya namante eva jivanti sanmukaritam bhavadiyavartam sthane sita shutigatam tanuvan manobhir ye prayaso jita jitopyasti traistrilokya. Just, we stay in our position according to Varnashram, and we hear and chant about the Lord. By this process, by this culture of knowledge, one can actually conquer Krishna. The infinitesimal, minute jiva, it can conquer the unlimited personality of Godhead. Why? Because Krishna likes to be bound by love. And so by hearing and appreciating these descriptions, love awakens in the heart. Because the qualities of the Lord are so attractive. That's what we can appreciate from this. That just by hearing about the qualities of the Lord embodies all qualities to the infinite degree, right? The devotees and other living entities can embody divine quality to a certain degree, but the Lord actually, he's unlimited, so his qualities are unlimited, and how he manifests those qualities are unlimited. So here Lord Ramachandra, he's conquering the hearts of the Brahmins actually by his charitable disposition. That's one of his divine qualities. And when you hear in other pastimes how the Lord, this is the process of giving our heart to Krishna by just meditating on how this is actually his personality. When we're hearing his leelas, Krishna's pastimes, Krishna, he's this is the most confidential information, the identity, the nature of God, the personhood, the personality of God, and how he acts, just like a small boy and steals butter from the gopis, and he gets bound up, and then he plays with his friends. This is the most privileged darshan. It's like taking a glimpse into the heart of God, because in that realm he can reveal his most intimate nature. Therefore, this knowledge is also described in Bhagavad Gita. This should not be given to those who are envious. Why? Because they make a big mess out of it. And we see that so many different versions of Vedic texts are completely misconstrued, and people become misled. And they, in so many ways, they try to speak the Vedic conclusion without having understood it in proper disciplic succession. And therefore, the result is the Mayavad phenomenon. Nowadays, the Mayavad is rampant. This was Srila Prabhupada's mission, that no, actually Krishna, God, is a person. He has personality. This is a big obstacle for a lot of people. When we meet people for distributing books, to come just to the level that God is actually a person. In other traditions, however ancient and established they may be, they're actually lacking this information of God's personhood and his intimate personality. So this is our privilege to have access to this knowledge, and the great boon to be able to share it with others. That is the greatest fortune, actually. We understand that chanting the holy name is our primary means of purification. One time, Tamal Krishna Maharaj said that actually distributing books is more important than chanting, because we don't have the qualification to chant the holy name. We don't have the relish or the taste. But when we engage in transcendental service, by that service attitude, we increase our attachment and taste for the holy name. So Prabhupada engaged from day one that we should make all endeavors to try to disseminate this knowledge, therefore getting sufficient mercy by which we can relish the name, form, qualities, and pastimes of the Lord. So Vaisheshguru has a book called Our Family Business, and he describes how Krishna, the Lord, reveals himself through the Shastra. The Shastra is actually the first evidence in Vedanta Sutra. It's called Shastra Yonitvat, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu indicated that Actually, among the different sources of knowledge that we can receive, the paramount is the Shastra. All the other, the sadhu and guru system, are based on the Shastra, because Shastra describes who is guru, Shastra describes who is sadhu. So this is the Lord's divine incarnation, just like we said, in sound and also in book form, in the form of paper and ink. So we are more or less surrounded by various incarnations of Krishna, right? In this temple, we can consider how many forms of God are before us. We have the deity, the devotees. These are Prakash, one of the Lord's energies. The spiritual master may be there. We have Srimad Bhagavatam, which is an incarnation. We have the holy name, Krishna Prasadam. We are more or less completely surrounded by God. But still, sometimes we can't see that. We can't even perceive that. And that's the disease of Maya. Uteyirtam yat pratiyeta na pratiyeta chatmani tadvidya datmano mayam tatate shu nate shrata. That the illusory conception in which one sees anything separate from God, that is my illusory potency known as Maya. This is what Krishna tells Lord Brahma. He says, actually, I am everything. There's nothing beside me. Aham eva asam eva agre nanyad yat sarasatpadam. This is the Chaturshloki verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. And he's describing after Brahma has performed penance and austerity, and now Krishna is explaining to him this Vedic knowledge. It's described in four seed verses. So this is just like Bhagavad Gita, many of us know that the four verses, but also for Srimad Bhagavatam, we can benefit by understanding these four verses. Brahma, it is I, the personality of Godhead, who is existing before the creation, when there is nothing but myself, nor was there the material nature, the cause of this creation. That which you see now is also I, the personality of Godhead, and after annihilation what remains will also be I, the personality of Godhead. So this is our primary philosophical understanding. There's nothing except God. Everything is God in his various energies. But O Brahma, whatever appears to be of any value, if it is without relation to me, has no reality. How can we understand that? It has no reality. If you see something without relation to me, it has no reality. This is worth contemplating. If you see something that has no relation to me, it has no reality. So we may see so many things in this world, like cars and trees, and big buildings. But Krishna says, if you see it without relation to me, actually that has no reality. So what does that mean? How do we understand this this point? I'll ask a question to the... Because we understand that Maya is the potency for illusion, but the material nature is real. It's not... Prabhupada would criticize the Mayavadis. They say it's not real. We say no, it is real. But here it's saying it has no reality. You want to answer?
Hare Krishna. How do we? The question is, how do we see everything in relation to the Lord? Is that the question?
No, the question is that Krishna says whatever appears to have any value, if it's without relation to me, it has no reality. What does that mean, it has no reality? How do we understand this point?
Well, one thing that comes to mind, I'm not a really on-spot speaker, so I'll try my best, but one thing that comes to mind is that usually when we see the objects of this world, especially people, we could get in a lot of trouble when we see them as objects for our exploitation, instead of objects for utilizing in Krishna service. But some objects can't be used in Krishna service. Looking at a big building, you could see it in relation to Krishna, like, wow, Krishna's given these people so incredible, Krishna says on the ability in man, so maybe you could see it in that perspective. And so I suppose. So I'm not sure exactly where you're going at. But
does anyone else have any thoughts on the matter? Giddy Dari.
I guess the main point, he mentioned it already, seeing it instead of being in relation to Krishna, seeing it in relation to your own enjoyment. That's the illusion.
Yeah. Whatever appears to have any value, if it is without relation to me, has no reality. So if you see a car or a building or so many different things, but you don't see it into relation to Krishna, what you're seeing actually isn't, it's not actually a reality. It is a conception of something. Like you conceive of a car, but actually where is the car? Is it the wheels? Is it the body of the car? Is it the seats of the car? The car is a conception that we have. But ultimately, it's an amalgamation of different things. The car is not substantial. So if you see something, okay, you're in our mind, we think this car exists. It's a construct. It's in the mind. But in time, and studying the, if you understand different, you know, intricacies of how that thing has come together, it's just an amalgamation of different parts. The car, you think, we speak as if it's an eternal object. It's a car. It's a no, it's not actually. If you don't see it in relation to Krishna, if you don't see how it's simply a transformation of Krishna's energy, there's no such thing as actually the car. The car is a mental, it's an idea of something. So this is the way our mind works in material nature, that we identify temporality, a combination of temporary things, and our mind creates it as a reality. But actually it's just a combination of Krishna's energies. So Brahma's being actually, it said that Lord Krishna taught Brahma and made himself realized. He says, know that as my illusory energy, that reflection which appears to be in darkness. So from the absolute point of view, these different combinations of material energy, they don't possess inherent substantiality. They are reflections. Know it as my illusory energy, that reflection which appears to be in darkness. So then in the material realm, we are surrounded by material energy, and if we're not able to see its connection to Krishna, then we become bound up and we create our own reality based on what we perceive to be reality. So people dedicate their whole lives to very transient, very petty, very unsatisfying schematics or conceptions of life. So Brahma is, has understood here that actually Krishna is everything, and therefore this potency of Maya, which is bewildering all living entities, is actually coming from the Lord. It's the Lord's own energy. And we described earlier the means of conquering that illusory energy is to revive that consciousness of the divine in all things. So this is again how Krishna consciousness becomes a very active process. It's not a passive process. It's, we have to, as they would say in primary school, turn on our thinking caps. Sometimes the teacher would joke, have you all brought your thinking caps today to class? So also in Krishna consciousness, therefore, the more we're able to see the philosophy in our day-to-day life, the more we actually get the experience of that spiritual potency. We said we're surrounded by these different features of God. So many incarnations are there before us, but we can't see because we don't see how everything is Krishna's energy. So we become lost. But Krishna says, for one who's always in me, and sees everything in me and sees me in all things, he's never lost to me and I'm never lost to him. So that is how to retain our divine consciousness, and it's based on hearing and chanting about the transcendental qualities and amazing activities and personality. Here the Lord has just given away his entire kingdom Everyone wants Ram to rule the kingdom, right? Everyone wants Lord Ramachandra to rule the kingdom. He's just killed Ravana. He's back in Ayodhya. But now he's giving that kingdom away. And that is his magnanimity. So, upcoming now, we'll hear some prayers that the Brahmins will offer to him. Beautiful prayers glorifying his position and his charity. So these were some thoughts on this nice verse. There's some other things we could describe also, but maybe we'll see if anyone like to comment or ask any questions or anything. Okay, Jitendra.
Material nature is endlessly mutable, but of that which is eternal, there's no cessation. How does that verse go? I got it somewhat right, I think. But, pardon me?
Na sato vidite bhavo, na bhavo vidite sata. Ubayor bidrishton nas tananyas tattadarshmi. For that which, the translation, I want to get it right. It's in the second chapter of the Gita. Those who are seers of the truth have concluded that of the non-existent, the material body, there is no endurance, and of the eternal there is no change. This they have concluded by studying the nature of both. This is a perfect verse. That's the perfect reference.
What chapter and verse was that, the number?
216.
And yeah, we also hear that the material world is a network of illusions leading to death.
Okay.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for your class. You made a lot of nice points. I had some verses that I forgot to write down on this verse to make a comment, but I'll just refer to what Prabhupada mentions in this chapter. In his purport, he refers to a previous verse. In this particular purport, he says, in the previous chapter, it was said that the prajas, the citizens, strictly followed the system of Varnashram Dharma. And verse he's referring to is 9:10:50, where it says this. And basically, I wanted to comment on this verse, but I wasn't here that day. But it's related to your class of how the Lord conquers the devotees and vice versa. Mm-hmm. In this particular verse, this is from 9:10:50. In the verse, it says, Lord Ramachandra then accepted the throne of the state. He cared for the citizens exactly like a father. And the citizens being fully engaged in the occupational duties of Varnashram Dharma, accept him as the father. So I appreciate that verse because I was just discussing with this another devotee yesterday. Generally speaking, when you accept an authority, you go wherever there's love, where you feel loved and cared for. And in the material world, we can see that based on this verse is that any family members, a father, when he cares for his son, he wants to glorify his son in all circumstances, just like when we were in school. Your mother brag anything they did good for you, anything good your child did, you want to brag to everyone, essentially. And if your child had a fault, you know, you wouldn't go tell everyone, you know what my child did? He's a dacoy. Any fault any family has, whether it's your son or wife or your daughter, you don't tell anybody. You don't want to embarrass them and insult them. But in the material world, sometimes even in any type of association, whether material world and sometimes in religious institutions, that sometimes you hear people's business all the time, and that may embarrass them. So it's hard to put faith in authority when you hear everyone's business all the time. Of course, you know, we all have to learn too, because sometimes we've criticized people and spill people's beings, so we can't criticize anyone, since, you know, like Jesus says, he was free of sin. But my question is that the tendency, how do we give up this tendency, because these are things that are outside our control, so how do we develop this this Atmaram mentality that no one in this material world can make me happy. Just like Radharani, the birth of Radharani, she wouldn't open her eyes until she saw Krishna. And it seems like that's the only conclusion we have in this material world, because if we depend on devotees, or, you know, we have our association, but how do you solve this dilemma? I don't know if my question is really clear. Is that
how do you see that the material world is not a good place?
Or how do you develop this Atmaram mentality? Because if we depend on people, which naturally we're all in the most material nature, devotee or non-devotee, mm-hmm. But it's hard to place your faith in any authority when you hear everyone's business all the time on Dandavas, on the internet, in a community. So, but we see in the material world, nobody ever spills the beans of their father or their son. You know, everyone naturally, because you care about them, you don't want to embarrass them, but sometimes, you know, of course, like I said, we have to be humble. We criticize people over the years, so. But still, how do we develop this Atmaram mentality? Because if we don't, it seems like we'll always be hurt in this material world by other people. So maybe you could expand on that.
Yeah, the reason people do that is because, again, they're looking for some taste. So if we're not getting the spiritual taste, they get the material taste of gossip or backbiting or fault finding. You see, Anandamaya Vyasat, the soul needs some juice. So if he's not getting it spiritually, if he's not doing his sadhana nicely, then naturally he'll have to find some recourse to experience that whatever semblance of happiness people get from that. So the main point is that to be invested, to dedicate their whole consciousness in what we described, the process of conquering the unconquerable by increased hearing and chanting, quality hearing and chanting. The Admarama position is one who has completely dedicated himself through intense service, intense purification, and these different qualities we were hearing. The Brahmin actually is the one who is striving to be self-satisfied, peaceful, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, wisdom, knowledge, and religiousness. So one who develops these qualities, they're a Brahman means one who knows Brahman, right? He's to be situated in Brahman. So the only real solution is to go very deeply into one's heart, seek out the personality of Godhead within the heart, to take shelter. Krishna wants to see how much do you want him. So he is your best friend. He's there. We have to approach and solicit his mercy. Then those who do that, they don't need to go outside for happiness, perverted happiness, fault finding, and all these things. You see, this is one of the qualities of the great souls. They never waste time in politics and all this word and bashing and all this. They never do that. Why? Because they have a higher taste. That's a symptom, actually, that they're on an advanced platform. They don't descend down to that level to do that. And those who generally are very much doing that in a unproductive way, it's a sign that they're of their spiritual, perhaps, position.
Oh, you reminded me of something my favorite Acharya said, Jitendra Prabhu. he said, it was very enlightening, but it was funny. He said, some devotees say they get lonely. He was like, I never get lonely. What about the super soul? Does that count? So I appreciate that.
Anyone else? So we have just a few minutes left. I was going to read just one other pastime, a very beautiful exchange related to this topic and the means of purification. It's Lord Krishna's meeting with Sudama Brahmana. I'll just read a few paragraphs. It's a nice meditation. King Parikshit was hearing the narrations of the pastimes of Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram from Shukadeva Goswami. These pastimes are all transcendentally pleasurable to hear, and Maharaj Parikshit addressed Shukadeva Goswami as follows. My dear Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is the bestower of both liberation and love of God simultaneously. Anyone who becomes a devotee of the Lord automatically attains liberation without having to make a separate attempt. Because the Lord is unlimited, his pastimes and activities for creating, maintaining, and destroying the whole cosmic manifestation are also unlimited. I therefore wish to hear about other pastimes of his, which you may have not described as yet. My dear Master, the conditioned souls within the material world are frustrated by searching out the pleasure of happiness derived from sense gratification. Such desires for material enjoyment are always piercing the hearts of conditioned souls. But I am actually experiencing how the transcendental topics of Lord Krishna's pastimes can relieve one from being affected by such material activities of sense gratification. I think that no intelligent person can reject this method of hearing the transcendental pastimes of the Lord again and again. Simply by hearing, one can remain always steeped in transcendental pleasure. Thus, one will not be attracted by material sense gratification. King Pariksit continued, "The ability to talk can be perfected only by describing the transcendental qualities of the Lord. The ability to work with one's hands can be successful only when one engages himself in the service of the Lord with those hands. Similarly, one's mind can be peaceful only when one simply thinks of Krishna in full Krishna consciousness. This does not mean that one has to have very great thinking power. One has to understand simply that Krishna, the absolute truth, is all-pervasive by his localized aspect of Paramatma. If one can simply think that Krishna as Paramatma is everywhere within the atom, then one can perfect the thinking, feeling, and willing functions of his mind. The perfect devotee does not see the material world as it appears to materialize, for he sees everywhere the presence of his worshipable Lord in his Paramatma feature." Maharaj Pariksit continued by saying that the function of the ear can be perfected simply by engagement in hearing the transcendental activities of the Lord. The function of the head can be fully utilized when the head is engaged in bowing down before the Lord and his representative. That the Lord is represented in everyone's heart is a fact. Therefore, the highly advanced devotee offers his respects to every living entity, considering that the body is the temple of the Lord. But it is not possible for all men to come to that stage of life immediately, because that stage is for the first-class devotee. On hearing these statements of Maharaj Pariksit, Shukadeva Goswami was overwhelmed with devotional ecstasy because of King Pariksit's advanced understanding of the Vaishnava philosophy. Shukadeva Goswami was already engaged in describing the activities of the Lord. When asked by Maharaj Pariksit to describe them further, he continued to narrate Srimad Bhagavatam with great pleasure. So this is the means here. We're hearing how one can meditate more and more on the personality of Godhead in so many different ways with so many different activities of our various senses. And that is the process of sadhana bhakti. Thank you all very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Dai Gopremandi.